Thank you so much. Man, it is good to be here in front of you guys. It's really honestly just good to be in Dallas. I've been in Houston for the last month, and it's no home. It's no Dallas. So I know probably about 90% of the people in here. So for those 90%, it's good to see you guys again. For those 10%, y'all missed out. I'm sorry. So let me just give you guys kind of a rundown of what's been going on in my life. I got kind of a bunch of crazy things going on recently here. I've been in Houston. I've been living there for the last month, and I'll be there all the way through March. And then in April, I'm getting married to my fiance. That's kind of crazy. And then, clap about that. That's awesome. No, I'm just kidding. And then in May, I'm graduating. And then hopefully, by June, I will be rolling in whatever full-time job I have going. So there's a lot of things going on right now, and it's really easy for me to be really inward focused, really, really self-centered, and be like, man, I'm doing some really awesome things right now. I'm doing some good stuff. I'm really doing this thing, becoming an adult. And no, that's not how it is. I can't do this on my own by myself. But it's really easy for me to think that way, that I'm doing things by myself. And for those of you who really know me, when I try to do things on my own, it kind of ends up disastrously. I'm kind of a mess when I try to do things on my own. And I have tried to do that before. I've tried the whole kind of push everyone else out, push everyone away. I'm going to do things my way, on my own terms, by my own rules. And it just leads to isolation. It leads to misery. And it's not what God has planned for us. So what I want to talk to you about today, I don't want to just stand up here and talk about me. No, stay tuned in. That's not what I'm here for. I want to talk to you guys about fellowship and the importance of having other people around you whenever we try to live our lives on our own, by our own rules, on our own terms. I want to talk to you guys about the importance of fellowship and having people around you that can lift you back up. So the crazy thing about being a Christian, as I discovered pretty quickly, is that I cannot live my life on my own. I can't live life on my own willpower, on my own terms. And as Christians in here, you cannot live your life on your own. And I want you guys to know that up front. And I'll expand on that a little more in a little bit. But what I want to do today is redefine the word fellowship for us. We kind of have made up our own definition of the word fellowship, and I just want to redefine it in our mental dictionaries real quick. We as 21st century Western-minded American Christians have this idea of fellowship that it's like, hey man, you want to go to Chili's? We can get some chips and queso on me, and we'll just fellowship. We'll just fellowship, man. It'll be great. And that's not what fellowship is. And to further illustrate this point, I have this video. If you want to get that queued up, it it's kind of dumb, but it just further illustrates what like our version of like relationships and like fellowship has become. It's become a little watered down. So, anyways, go ahead and roll that video if you got it. Accurate though, it's kind of crazy. So what is fellowship then, right? So we have this idea that video is so stupid. We have this idea built up in our mind that it's like for guys it'll be like, oh, let's break out the steaks, you know, grill them, catch the big game. And for girls, it's whatever girls do. shop, I don't know. But that's not at all what fellowship is. Not in the New Testament. Not even in the Old Testament. It's a terrible depiction of what fellowship is. So let's turn to the scriptures real quick. And if you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Ecclesiastes 4. And I think we got it up here. We got Ecclesiastes up here? Yes? Okay, cool. So it says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So, Ecclesiastes is a super interesting book. It's super unique. The Bible doesn't actually give a 100% clear answer about who the author is, but a lot of scholars have gotten together, and it's generally accepted that Solomon is the author of this book. But the author simply refers to himself as the preacher. So for the time being, we're just going to refer to him as the preacher. And so this book is kind of like a weird diary into the preacher's mind. He spends a majority of this book kind of just wrestling with himself, kind of playing the devil's advocate a little bit, just kind of looking at what is life like without God? If there were no God, what would life look like? But if there is a God, okay, then what does life look like in that scenario? And so he's just kind of going back and forth, wrestling with this, and he goes from switching, talking about, oh, life is so hopeless, life is so pointless, and then later on in the book, he's kind of bipolar, actually. He talks about how we gotta, how important it is to make the most of the time that we have here. So that's kind of what Ecclesiastes is about. And then in chapter 4, the preacher starts putting himself in different types of people's shoes. He talks about what life is like if you're someone that struggles with anger. If you're an angry person, what does life look like with God? What does life look like without God? That kind of thing. And he talks about the oppressed person. And then, so where we are here in chapter 4, he's talking about the lonely person, someone who's really lonely. And that's where we pick up in the text. And he's contrasting the effect of loneliness with the success of togetherness or fellowship. So if we look back at this text right off the bat, right from the very start, he says, two are better than one. Right out of the gate, that paints a pretty clear picture for you. But he goes on and he expands on it, because why is two better than one? Because they have a good return for their labor. So oftentimes in this day and age, two people could come together and work together, whether it be in the fields or whatever they're doing. They could come and they could work together and reap more reward than if there were two individual people working in individual fields for their individual selves. They could reap more than double what they had if they were working towards the same goal. So they can be more successful together. They can be the most successful when they're working towards the same goal in fellowship with one another. And that gets me thinking, when something awesome or something successful happens in my life, the first thing I want to do is call up one of my buddies. Yo, Dylan, you check this out. This crazy thing happened to me the other day. And then, that's one of the first things I think. It's instinctive in us. Or even think about when you and your friend are sitting next to each other and this crazy thing just happens right in front of you. First thing you do, oh, dude, did you see that? That was great. You look to your friend. So when you share these successes or these experiences with one another, it's just instinctual in us. But just as it's better for us to share these victories and share these successes, it's also better for us to share these hard times together. If we're in a hard time and we're starting to fall, we can have someone pick us back up. But it talks about how blessed is the man who has someone to pick him back up. Just So here's the thing about fellowship, though. A lot of times we like to kind of play the victim and always be the one like, oh, I need help. Like, someone pick me back up, please. And then we never want to be the person to go looking to pick other people back up. And this is where fellowship really comes into play, when we can get on our feet and we can look around us at all of our friends. Hey, who needs to be picked up today? Who needs to be brought back to their feet today? You can't just be the one getting picked up all the time. And fellowship is mutual work. It's working towards the same goal. It's sharing the load. In fellowship, we mutually teach and disciple each other. So another scripture that really helps illustrate this picture is in Acts 4:32. I'm just going to flip there real quick. I don't think we have it up on the screen. Acts 4:32. Some might even go as far as saying that, like, this is the definition of fellowship. And it says, now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to them was his own, but they had everything in common. All right, so it's talking about the full number of those that believed. Like, it's talking about the church. Like, this is a crazy picture. Okay, no one claimed anything for themselves. I try to picture this in today's world. Like, there's just no possible way. Like, we have our cars and our phones and stuff. Like, if everyone in this day and age was just selfless, everything was everyone's. And, like, my first thought is, well, if I give up everything that is mine, like, for everyone else, like, I don't have anything. But no, like, you have everything. Because everything is everyone. So this is what, like, fellowship was in this day. Fellowship in this day was just a complete sharing, just a complete looking out for each other, looking after each other. And so Francis Chan, most of you guys have heard this name. He has this series called Basic, and in it he talks about fellowship, and Francis Chan's the pastor of a church in Simi Valley, California. And in California, there was a guy who started coming to his church. But this guy, before he came to the church, he lived in just a complete gang environment. Like, he grew up on the streets with a gang. He got jumped into this gang, and he's living with them, rolling with them for years and years and years. He gets saved, starts coming to Francis Chan's church. And one of Chan's buddies is kind of, like, mentoring him, working with him, and just, you know, making sure, like, hey, bud, you got to, like, you know, keep coming. Like, we miss you. We love you. But then one day he stopped coming. The guy stopped showing up to church. And When Chan's buddy asked him, hey, why aren't you here anymore? We don't see you around. What's going on? He said, you know, I thought that church would be kind of more like a gang. Like, I thought, like, you know, people would have each other's backs. You know, I didn't know it was only on Sundays. I didn't know it was only on Wednesdays. So I don't know. It wasn't for me. I don't know. So that's a crazy image. That should be a wake-up call. That should speak to us. This man found more fellowship in gang life than he did in the church. We will see true, tangible results if we can really learn to let go of our narrow-sightedness and our infatuation with self-centeredness. I recently spoke to one of my friends. Actually, he's my boss. Actually, he's my boss's boss. He's the senior pastor of Northside Christian Church, David Garrison. I was talking with him, and I just, well, a little bit about Northside first is about 10 years ago, they were a church of about 400 members, 400 or so. And then over the last 10 years, they've grown to 1,800 members. It's seen phenomenal growth in the last 10 years, and God's doing some crazy awesome things there. And so I just asked him the question that anyone would ask him, like, how is your church doing this? Like, what are you guys doing that's so different or, like, special about you guys? I just asked him that, and he gave me a number of reasons, starting with, you know, Matt, the Holy Spirit grows a church. I don't do anything. I was like, I know. Okay, but what are you doing? And he gave me a couple other different answers. And then he finally just was like, but you know, probably the most important thing that Northside does is it places an emphasis on unity. It's emphasis on unity. Every volunteer, every member, every elder, everyone is committed to each other. There's a mutual commitment to unity and fellowship, and consequently, God's been able to use them. So let's check out Acts 2:42-47 real quick. Here we go. 42-47. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. So this is going back, talking about the early church again. All right. And in this first verse, this is just talking about what they did, right? It was they devoted themselves to teaching and fellowship, devoted themselves to fellowship, and they broke bread and they prayed. Those four elements. All right, and then these next four verses are as a result of their devoting themselves to these things. So, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. They were devoted to fellowship, and day by day, God added to their numbers those who had been saved. Now, I know, like, I just kind of painted a picture of, like, an ideal church, like what like a great, perfect church would look like. So I got to take a minute just to say there is no such thing as a perfect church. Like, I don't want to paint a false picture for you. There is no such thing as a perfect church. It does not exist. Okay, even in the Bible, like if you go two chapters further, the story of Ananias and Sapphira, they come along and they mess things up. I'm not going to get too much into that story at all, but they come along and they mess things up right after things have just been so great and people are adding to their numbers. God's adding to their numbers day by day. So there is no perfect church. But, okay, so if people are always messing up, people are messy, but we're supposed to be in fellowship with one another. We're supposed to be close with one another. We're supposed to have each other's backs. Oh, but we're messy people. How are those supposed to go together? That's a tough question. You see, actually, no, it's not. I take that back. It's quite simple. Fellowship cannot exist without forgiveness. Fellowship cannot exist without forgiveness. Forgiveness is an essential part to living in fellowship with other believers. In order to live a rich life of fellowship with the people around you, you gotta learn how to forgive them. You gotta understand that they're gonna mess up. They might stab me in the back, but you know what? We're here for each other. He'll be there for me when I mess up. So it's a cycle of forgiveness. We have been charged with the task of fellowshipping with one another. Fellowship is essential to the Christian walk, but like, what does that really look like? The thing about fellowship is it really goes hand in hand with Jesus's commandment to love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as I love them. It goes hand in hand with that commandment. You know, sometimes I feel like it'd be a lot easier if like I could just do some things on my own. Like if I could just like not worry about everyone. All right, guys, I got this one. You guys sit this one out. I know I'm not the only one that feels this way, okay? It feels like it would be easier if I could do things on my own. But the thing is, it does not matter how much of a loner you are or how much of an introvert you are or how much you don't like people. None of that matters because you cannot reach your full potential as a human being in this life without the help of other people. Let me say that again. We cannot reach our full potential as a human being on this life without the help of other people. Proverbs 27 talks about how iron sharpens iron. That's how a man sharpens another man. I don't know if you guys have seen iron ever sharpen iron, but it's a rough process. Like it's red hot metal just banging against each other, sparks flying, things are going everywhere. But that's how we sharpen each other. It doesn't come easy. So we cannot reach our full potential as people on this earth without the help of other people. And when I say potential, when I say the word potential, it could apply to anything. It can apply to like someone's potential as a musician or like a doctor or teacher or plumber. It doesn't matter. Like this truth goes across the boards. Like to be the best plumber you're going to be, you need other people. You need the help of other people. But that's not what I'm talking about right now. What I'm talking about right now is we cannot reach our potential as carriers of the gospel of Jesus Christ without other people. We can't reach our potential as kingdom growers without the help of other people. It's the way God designed us, to live in fellowship with one another and to share each other's burdens. The former Secretary General of the United Nations once wrote, "What makes loneliness and anguish is not that I have no one to share my burden with, but that I have only my own burden to bear." What makes loneliness and anguish is not that I have no one to share my burden with, but that I only have my own burden to bear. We're made to share. We're made to share burdens. And as traditional students, as most of you guys are, traditional students here at DCC, guys, we're set up for some awesome fellowship, some amazing potential fellowship. And you guys have been given the tools necessary to accomplish this, to live out a life of fellowship with a community of believers. People that are literally like living next to you and around you almost every day. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. But even so, it's not like it's an opportunity. Like you have the rest of your life, even when you're not traditional students at DCC, like this opportunity still applies. Every day you have a new opportunity to fellowship. Don't let this lesson pass you by. Don't let this concept pass you by. Fellowship is this beautiful, sacrificial team all headed towards the same goal. And now I realize we're not all here for the same purposes. We're not all here to study the same major, but we're all as fellow students and Christians, it's our job to love and fellowship with one another. It's our job to do that. It's our job to not remain in isolation from each other. Because Satan works in isolation. Satan works in isolation. He loves it when we're not talking to one another. He loves it when we're keeping secrets inside, when we're keeping things from other people that can help us. Man, he loves that. He loves it when we're keeping things from our fellow believers that can be rid of him in our lives. We cannot be wasteful with the time that we have to make a difference in people's lives. God's going to establish his church with or without us. The only real question is, do you want to remain in isolation or do you want to be a part of it? Let's pray.